Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Ooh. Anything can happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Pulitzer Prize for lyrics this year goes to...
There may be a toad on your bass guitar, or your sister could turn into a bat. No, I'm telling you, Tony Award winner,
Don Black.
Sunset Boulevard, music, Tony Award winner, Charles Strauss. Wait a minute. April 1st can be fun. New Year's Eve, I'm doing Tim Curry, is a bore. But on Halloween, your flesh begins to crawl. Oh, I'm losing control. Anything can happen on Halloween. Wait, Rob, wait. Your toenails curl wrong and your hair turns green. Your teacher could become a sardine. Your dentist could turn into a queen. Has anybody seen my tambourine? You guys,
first of all, my
the tambourine
is
that
a queen.
Part alone, it's when he pulls out the tambourine, it's just special. I know every year I bring it up. I don't care.
Listen,
watch Tim Curry do Anything Can Happen on Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween.
I've never seen you this excited. You're so
I actually
happy.
Pulled up the lyrics just so I could sing it for you.
Did you really? No, you lie. You lie.
No.
You've been off book since day one.
I watched it many times. Well, there is truth in that.
You liar.
I am the gay one, Rob. I am.
Oh, hey, gay. Folks. Hey, we have a pretty big announcement here. Mr. Thomas's name has now been immortalized in all of history. Kevin, shall I brag about you, or would you like to brag about yourself a little bit?
No, please. I already went through it in college. Why don't you do it this time?
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a fabulous new biography out about the great Elaine Stritch.
True.
Which is called, anyone know the title?
Stritch.
A Stritch in Time. It's a pop-up book. It's actually a scratch and sniff. You scratch it and every page just smells like it's either whiskey or insulin, depending on which page you scratch off. And
gin. Gin was her favorite.
Gin. So anyway, the biography, though, talks about Miss Stritch's time in A Little Night Music with Mr. Thomas. And Kevin actually got a shout-out.
And I'm going to say she dropped names, but the writer definitely dropped a couple names there.
And so apparently it says in the book that Elaine Stritch gave nicknames to the fellow cast members. She called Hunter Ryan Herdlicka, who played Henrik, later.
Yeah, that was the song he sang, of course.
That's the song. Yes. So anytime she wants, she goes, "Where's later?"
Yes.
And then it said that Kevin David Thomas was called the gay one.
I think it's mostly because I provided show tunes for her all the time. I would go to her dressing room. I would sit at her feet and I would say, "Hey, you want to hear I had a ball with Karen Morrow?" I'm not even kidding you. And I would make her mixed.
You're
CDs
a liar.
Of show tunes.
You're on your knees more times than a new postulant.
And so evidently it has been brought to my attention that in the biography
the book then says in parentheses, which Hunter and Kevin found very funny, because Hunter is gay and Kevin is actually straight. And so
married with child. Yes.
And now we have to amend it. So it says married with child, but Stritch used to call him the gay one, apparently. But now you said you thought she called you something. I mean, she had a different nickname, I think, to your face, right?
Well,
what was the nickname to your face?
I'm actually looking. So one of the things when the show was closing, I had a record of Goldilocks, because we actually used to sing Goldilocks backstage. I know it sounds
like the nerdiest thing ever. I just want you to stop for a second and just think about what you just said.
Yep.
Now do you understand why she's called?
And that's why she liked me, because I would say, "Oh, who's been sitting in my chair?" And she'd be like, "Just me, just I." And I was like, "Yeah, there we go."
The gay one.
Five people out there who knows that reference. So I had Goldilocks LP. I'm looking at it on my wall. It says, literally right now, Rob, it says to Kevin, and then it says in parentheses,
Later's understudy.
I'm not even kidding you. Elaine Stritch, 12, 30 2010. But that was how she signed it to Kevin, in parentheses, Later's understudy. So she actually called me Later's understudy more than anything, because she called Hunter Later.
Yes. But you know, that night she went back to the Cafe Carlisle and they were like, how was your evening, Miss Stritch? Signed an autograph for the gay one. Where's my English muffin?
Oh, man. Exactly. She did. She sent me a package of Bay's English muffins.
Because her husband, right?
2 years in a row, I would get like a big, not even. And the thing about Bay's English muffins, they don't preserve. You have to freeze them or use them. You would get a package of like 100 English muffins. So you're like, what am I going to do with all these English muffins?
Just as a
compliments of Stritch.
A recap for our listeners, Kevin has quoted verbatim Goldilocks and then has just given us a dissertation on English muffins. So. When you read that Elaine called him the gay one, it's not too big of a shocker.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Read the biography. It's a pop-up book.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. How are you doing? You were in rehearsals for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I am in rehearsals for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. It's going well. I've tried to catch up on as much theater as possible, but I'm not in rehearsal. I saw The Inheritance Part 1.
Yes.
It's fabulous, folks. Well, it's really fabulous. Yeah, it's a special evening in the theater. It's hysterically funny, brilliantly moving.
Well written.
Go with tissues because you're going to be a little bit of a mess.
I'm eager to see part two. I mean, it's. I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. I am very excited. And I saw, also, you know what? So cool. The York Theater, they did musicals in Mufti this weekend. It's a new musical in Mufti. It was Panama Hattie.
Hello, 1940s called. They want their musical back.
No, don't give it back to them. Keep it. Give it to us. You know what's so funny? So before
Cole Porter.
So as you know, the York Theater, which is on 54th and Lexington, does their musicals in Mufti series, where they do concerts or shows on book in street clothes. And this year was a Cole Porter tribute. So they did 50 Million Frenchmen, and then they did the Leroy Reams Cole Porter show, and then they got to. Panama Hattie with the great Clea Blackhurst standing in for Ethel Merman. And so before each of the shows, the artistic director, the great Jim Morgan, gets up there and he gives a little speech about what's going on and stuff. It's you need an intermission afterwards, but I love it. Yep. It's great. It's funny. Yep. He's very funny and charming. I don't mind the speech. But anyway, so during the speech, he said, just so everyone knows, Panama Hattie was never recorded.
Well, A couple songs were.
Yeah, but there was.
But it's not an official cast recording.
No, there's not an official cast recording, which is fine.
Not to be like put on the gay one, you know, glasses again. I mean, like I'm pushing my glasses on my nose. But there are a couple songs recorded of
no,
that album.
No. Of course, but there's no like
official.
There's no like here is the score. It like you said, it's segmented songs and all that stuff. Right. So it was so nice because then that's exciting because you're like, well, what the hell is this then? It was really a lot of fun. So if you can get over to the York Theater between now and next Sunday, go check out Panama Hattie. And Clea is like, if you don't know Clea Blackhurst, you should look at her up. Her big thing was she did an Ethel Merman show. But she doesn't do Ethel Merman. She's got, I mean, you know what I mean by that? Like, it's not like, she's an impersonator. She just has the same energy. Yeah, go ahead.
She can channel that energy, but she's a cabaret star in her own right.
Oh, she's fabulous. And I've had her in a bunch of concerts at 54, but it's just so nice to watch her embody this real golden age performance quality that you don't really get to see a lot anymore. But my favorite part of the evening was after the show, there was an opening night reception. And Clea, everyone made speeches and they brought Clea up there. And somebody said, Clea, we have a gift for you. And so somebody handed Clea a gift from the Cole Porter estate and she opened it up and it was a handbag. And everyone said, oh, like that's nice. And then the woman who handed her the bag said, oh, I'm so sorry. I should have told you. This was Ethel Merman's handbag. And you heard every single queen in there go, oh.
Well, like I just did. Yeah.
Like, well, no, but the gay one.
that's amazing. No, that's
it's like a superhero name. I love it. So anyway, so Clea got Ethel Merman's purse. I want that. I wonder what Ethel Merman kept in her purse is my big question. Like, there's an ale file and a pack of chiclets
and earplugs when I go see Lauren Bacall.
Jesus
Christ.
I am woman. Jesus.
No, that's a good one.
I have earplugs and tissues. That actually sounds like an old, that's an a Lerner and Long low sound that got cut from My Fair Lady.
Earplugs and tissues.
Earplugs and tissues are what I need to get through the day. No, this is from Walking Happy.
No, it's fun. I you know what? I just listened to an album today of original cast records of Lost Broadway, you know, where they, it's like one person playing the piano and like a couple, you know.
I know what you're talking. Michael Levine. It's Michael Levine playing the piano, right?
This one was Bill Zeffiro, but yes. Oh. But this sounds like a song that was on that album. Like, you know, it sounds like one of those songs.
And cough drops.
Cut from like Baker Street, the pre-Broadway tryout.
Song was cut from Baker Street. Here to sing it is Debbie Shapiro Gravitt. Shapiro.
Too famous.
We're gonna stop right now. Although I love a nice Lost Broadway.
I had a great time. It was a wonderful album. It's great to hear songs of the golden age that no one's ever heard of before. That every single song was like premiere recording, never heard of. So you know,
I have fallen in the manhole of love. That was cut from Sewers, the Hal Prince musical that
did you really just make
tried out in his office and never went anywhere after that. The composing team, as you probably remember, is Norman Gold and Patrick Flaherty, who were sanitation workers that had a penchant for musical theater. You can read all about this in Peter Felicia's new book.
Well done.
So make sure to listen to Sewers.
Oh, man, you just cracked me up really good.
Our next track, I Lost My Glasses, but I See the Cataracts of My Heart. It's going to be sung by Davis Gaines and is from the out of town musical Optometry.
As seen in Show Point. Music Magazine.
As seen in volume 7 of Show Music Magazine. This was supposed to be directed by Richard Maltby Jr. And the performance has never been seen since. So please enjoy. That's all I got.
You're killing me. You are just killing me right now.
Getting married on Wednesday. Is from the acclaimed musical that never was, I'm Getting Married on Wednesday,
which was a CDR from Footlight.
It was a fever dream of Adolph Green when he had walking pneumonia in 1967 and never went really beyond that. Some say had Adolph not gotten on the penicillin, we would have had a full score. And that's just a loss for us in the American musical theater. Yeah.
But thankfully, we have the piano recording of one take only. So enjoy.
Here's Jack Jones with I'm Not Getting Married on Wednesday. Enjoy, everybody.
I actually have a couple Jack Jones albums. In confession, I can't listen to them. I listen to one or two songs and I just think, that's enough.
You like Jack Jones?
No, I do. It's very. It feels like every single showcase that you go to every year, you know, like a lot of belting, a lot of like hitting the notes,
a little TV, maybe like
knock, knock, who's there? Nobody, but it's beautiful.
TV trivia for you. Jack Jones is famous for singing what theme song?
Only you would know that, Rob, and no. I have no clue.
People are yelling at you right now. They know it. They know it. What is it? Come on.
I'm not a TV person. What is it? No, truly.
Have you never seen The Love Boat?
He was like, The Love Boat. Love. Of course it was. That was exactly his era.
Exciting, I mean, it's new.
It's probably on my album that I have over here.
Come aboard. Have you ever seen Airplane 2?
I love Airplane and Naked Gun movies.
Okay, so wait. So you know Jack Jones. In Airplane 2, when Robert Hayes escapes from the asylum and he's running and all of a sudden someone is like in a tuxedo and a spotlight singing and he like stops and he's like, what the hell's going on? That's Jack Jones.
Well, I love that Airplane 2 features Jack Jones. Airplane 1 features Ethel Merman. I mean, what you know, bless them. Remember Ethel Merman? Doesn't she have a moment in Airplane?
Yeah, is it named Sergeant Bukowski or Zimmerman? He thinks he's Ethel Merman.
That's right.
Oh, they swag.
It's like a flash. There's a flashback.
He's been traumatized and thinks he's Ethel Merman. It's actually Airplane or Ethel Merman?
Yeah, well, both actually.
Oh, okay. Actually, speaking of favorite things, we do a show called Our Favorite Things. So I feel like we should.
I'm still wiping the tears. You made me laugh so hard just now, Rob.
I'm not funny.
Yes, you are.
No, actually, that was a song cut from a Yip Harbor musical.
Lawrence and Lee, a favorite song of theirs.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Not my love. Not my love.
Ira Levin actually wrote the lyrics.
By
it was not Drat Ira the Cat, Levin. It was Drat the Dog.
Drat the Dog. originally called Drat the Dog was a musical by Ira Levin and by the great Adolf Zucker, who, as we all know from his Hollywood days, had a brief foray into the American musical theater. And it was a beautiful, beautiful musical. Unfortunately, the theater burned down while Mr. Zucker was in it, and therefore the show was not able to go on. You have a favorite thing? Do I have a favorite thing?
I do. My favorite thing is a Halloween.
I know.
I think you know exactly what it's going to be.
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, it has to be. They released it on Netflix. Stop the Press. If anybody wants to brush up on their Paul Lynde impersonation, all you have to do is go to Netflix and type in the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Oh my God.
I would highly suggest that you either have a alcoholic beverage of some sort or something recreational, because as my mother says, it's just what they did in the 70s.
Prune a tree.
Yeah, these 70s specials, I mean, everything from Bette Midler to, I mean, Carol Burnett, they were just, some of them were really wacky. And I don't think any of them thought that we were going to watch them 40 years later. But
move it in, move it out, disco, I mean, baby.
The dynamic between him and Margaret Hamilton alone is something to be written about. It is the weirdest, wackiest, campiest, you know, Halloween special. I could tell you things to look for. Look for how it opens with them not knowing what it's going to be about. So they go through Halloween, they go through Christmas, they go through Easter, and then they finally says, you know, it's Halloween. And then he decides that, oh, I guess we'll do this. And so he sings Kids, but a Halloween – the song Kids, of course, but a Halloween version. And as Rob, you have talked about over the years with our podcast, in Bye Bye Birdie, every incarnation of it, he gets a little campier as he goes on. You know, the original Broadway production, 1960. He's a dad.
As it goes on, he gets gayer. I prefer to say, as the years go on, he just Kevinizes a song.
Yeah, well, yeah, the gay one. And so by 1975 or 76, he is just a caricature of himself. And this Halloween special is camping and silly and of its era. And it is so weird. Basically, they hide from the kids. He sings a song about the kids. They rewrite the lyrics. By the way, this was written. The Halloween special was actually co-written by one of our former guests, Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche, yes.
Yes. And so, but he has three wishes. He's got Witchy Poo, one of the witches, and then Margaret Hamilton is dressed up in her green Elphaba makeup.
You fucking asshole.
And
who's the old lady playing Elphaba?
That's what the kids say. And so he's got three wishes. And so, of course, his first wish is to be a trucker with rhinestones and red hair. So check that out. And he sings a song. And there's a little person involved. And they make such
Billy Barty.
Yes, very famous Billy Barty. But they make such jokes as like, oh, you'll have to look over him. And he says, well, I think everybody does. You know, those kinds of fun little jokes of making fun of little people. But incidentally, Kiss was the musical guest. And this was Kiss's network debut. Never had been on television before until this special. So lucky them. Second wish.
Who was more confused when they showed up to set? Was it Paul Lynde or Kiss?
Weirdest. They sang three songs. They're hit songs. I mean, throughout the entire thing. It is, Rob, it's so weird, and yet I couldn't stop watching it. And it's so wacky and wild. And so Donnie and Marie have like, they have featured guests, Rob, but it's literally people out there for like 2 seconds. Betty White is like this pure angel. Bam, she's gone after 2 seconds. Donnie and Marie, they get billing, but I mean, were they in it? No.
No, they literally put them in a trash can.
Yep.
Donnie and Marie, and then they walk off screen.
Yep. It's just
Tim Conway's in it.
Yes, that's right.
Right, the great Tim Conway.
Oh yeah,
Pinky Tuscadero.
Florence Henderson, yeah, and Pinky, of course. Yes, of course.
From Happy Days. The actress, they wouldn't even call her by her name. They called her by her character name.
That's
it's
right.
It's like Roz something, and they're like, Roz Pinky Tuscadero Goldstein. And you're like,
There's a moment where he's the sheik, like C-H-I-C. The second wish is to be a sheik, like in Arabia. And so he sings a song to Florence Henderson.
Where the fuck is Arabia? What map are you looking at, Mr. President?
Lawrence of?
Oh, I thought you meant like as a country.
No, you goof. No, I'm speaking 70s speak. This is like old school. When he's the sheik, it's like, where is he? He's not in any country. I mean, he's clearly of like another world. Florence Henderson sings a disco song of Old Black Magic, which is extreme close up. It is so weird. They orchestrate it so strange. It's so clearly of the 70s. But just watch it, everybody. But do not watch it after tomorrow, because it's not Halloween anymore, and it would definitely lose its magical effect. So
you really only need to see this once a year, and you should be on a sugar high watching it.
Maybe every other year it might be even better.
Or maybe I might watch it every month. May I point out a couple of other things for people to notice, because I think you've done a brilliant job of capturing the spirit of the Paul Lynn Halloween special. Yeah. Do you notice how it ends? It's a freeze frame of him and do you remember what it is? It's him and Margaret Hamilton kissing on the lips, and it's a freeze frame as if like ABC was trying to be like, he's straight. Kissing a woman. He's kissing Margaret Hamilton. He's straight.
Look at him. There's almost tongue there.
There's almost a little bit of tongue. So can you imagine? So Paul, we're gonna do a Halloween special with you. What kind of ideas do you have? I want to be a trucker,
a rhinestone trucker.
Okay, a rhinestone trucker,
with red hair.
I want to be
red hair, like a wig, like a piece.
Yes. I want to look like Donnie Most. It's a Happy Days reference for the kids out there. They love a Happy Days reference.
No, we lost them long ago. We lost.
And what about for the kids, Paul? Anything contemporary for the kids? Yeah, I'll do a takeoff on silent movies. Because, you know, the teens that are dropping acid love a Ramon Navarro joke. Just like... And everyone looks like they got on that special, because I always feel like they got like DUIs and had to do like community service. And they were like, you can either pick up trash on the side of the road, or you can be in the Paul Lynn Halloween special.
Got the special going
and
on.
Florence Henderson's like, well, nobody wants to see Carol Brady picking up a tab can on the 101. So what do you want me to sing, Paul? How about that Old Black Magic?
Oh, and the headliners are in there for like as little as possible. It was almost like a competition to see how much little screen
how little time can everyone get on this thing. Except poor Tim. Now, I think Tim Conway is a genius. Somehow this show makes Tim Conway not be funny. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, the Rhinestone Cowboy sequence, it was really strange. Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, where he doesn't know what holiday is. It's at the beginning is absolutely
his. Oh, it goes through all of them, and he's all very forlorn. And then his maid is Margaret Hamilton.
Margaret Hamilton's the maid.
He treats her as such. I mean.
Then at one point she goes, "It's not Christmas, Mr. Lind." And he goes, "Go prune a tree." And he's like, first of all, they gave him a monologue. Some of the monologue doesn't have jokes. I don't know what those are.
No, it's too serious.
But they just keep putting in these laugh tracks, like in the most random places.
But like I said, if you want to work on your impersonation of Paul Lynn, I mean, this is the special to watch, because he's in the golden age. You know, he's still a little angry.
I am wondering, because he actually died pretty young. He died in his 50s.
Way too young. Way too young.
I'm wondering though if he had lived longer. I'm wondering like what roles in musicals would he have done at some other point down the line. Like what shows like came out after him that you would be like, oh, that's a great role for Paul Lynn.
Gus the Theater Cat.
How dare you? How dare you? Can you imagine him sitting on a trash can in a cat outfit?
Yes.
I'm not dressing like a pussy. You know exactly that's what he would have said. Can you? I'm trying to think. Listeners, help us out. You know what I would have wanted to have seen him in? I think you're going to think I'm nuts.
Mm-hmm.
City of Angels as Buddy, the producer.
Oh, Buddy, yes.
That it would be a totally different take on it.
Yeah. No, that would
but I think that would be good for him.
Yeah, I agree.
What other show? Anything else? Grand Hotel? Not as Kringleline, but as the Baron.
Love
can happen. And when love comes. And when love comes.
Prado.
And when love comes, you pay $250 extra. No, Paul, you can't make jokes in this moment. Oh, I can't hit the notes. So that's it.
All right.
That's it.
What's your favorite thing?
He also, I think, would have been a good Dodd in Sunday in the Park with George. I'm just throwing that out there. Never not with you, like George.
I could be in the Follies.
Yeah, I could be in the file. No, oh, actually, he could have. Actually, maybe he could have played George, finishing the hat. It's a chapeau. That's it. That's all I got. I don't even know if I want to talk about mine because this Paulin Halloween special is just so damn good.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
No, you got one.
I'm going to go fast because I want you all to just listen to the Paulin Halloween special. A few episodes ago, we talked about one of my favorite designers of posters. That's the great James McMullen, who does all the Lincoln Center posters.
Of course, yes.
And there was a fabulous book that came out in the mid-90s of all of his work. It was a favorite thing. A lot of his work, and it's the poster, the sketches for the different versions of the posters before they got approved, and how he came up with these key images. You know his work. Like I said, he's done all of the Lincoln Center shows. Well,
They look like watercolor. Yeah, beautiful, yes. Stunning. Yeah.
Thank God. He wrote a sequel, and the sequel, folks, is my favorite thing for this week, and it's just simply called More McMullens, McMullans, one more time, More McMullens, McMullans, the Lincoln Center Theater posters, 1998 to 2012. And it's just a continuation of his really, really fantastic work, and some beautiful images in there. Things like the Helen Hunt 12th Night, the original parade, 10 Unknowns, the Dinner at 8 story of how he came up with this image of old money versus new money is so brilliant to me, and I think people should buy the book alone just to read that. The South Pacific, remember that wonderful production of South Pacific?
I loved that production.
Right?
Full orchestration.
Oh, yeah. Light in the Piazza. It's so cool. We've talked about this before, and we had this with Frank Fravor. Frank Verlitzo, who better known as Fravor, is a great graphic designer, and we had him on the show very early on in our series. The poster art to me is so fascinating because it's the first thing an audience sees before they even buy a ticket for the show. And somehow, there's nothing in rehearsal. Somehow, this person is the first person to look at this script and go, okay, I'm going to articulate what this image is.
Oh yeah. It informs the audience. Show. It informs the audience. Basically it's their first impression before they even hear the music.
And it's such a, but what I think is so interesting, the posters are designed way before the show even goes into rehearsal. So the person is just reading the author's words and is somehow coming up with a key image for it. I find it so fascinating and I find it to be such a brilliant, beautiful art form. So I'm really happy that there's a sequel to the book. If you guys get the chance, purchase it. I got it on Amazon. McMullens, the Lincoln Center Theater posters, 1998 to 2012.
I love it. And I'm trying to think of an artist who has been associated with the theater company for as long as he has been associated with Lincoln Center. You know, it's very special that they have keyed in on this artist for so long and so much work. When you really think about commercial productions and stuff like that, Frank Verlizzo, his Fravor's work is everywhere.
He's an independent artist.
Independent based on which producer hires him. But to have the output of every single season of the Broadway and the Mitzi Newhouse. He does all of the off, you know, their off Broadway stuff as well. It's consistent work for years and years. I mean, I can't think of another artist that has, I mean, I think of Hirschfeld doing, like, you know, watching a piece and then trying to capture it and then put it in the newspaper.
Sure.
That's much, much different than actually the advertisement of the piece and the poster art.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'm happy that you're celebrating him.
Yeah, and Hirschfeld again. At that point is responding to a physicalized creation, right. And this guy only has works on a page.
In the theater.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's both of them are geniuses. Both of them are absolute geniuses. So anyway, I encourage you all to pick up a copy of this book, Moore McMullen's The Lincoln Center Theater Posters, 1998 to 2012. And you, my friend, recommend.
Has anybody seen my tambourine? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was Tim Curry again singing. Mine is the Paul Lynde Halloween special, which you can see currently on Netflix right now.
Yes, and also next week.
Creepy, eerie. I'm sorry, Rob. Sorry. Halloween.
Also next week, make sure to tune in when our favorite things will be Buttons on Balloons, the Harold Arlen musical that Mr. Arlen wrote while on the toilet in 1947, Buttons on Balloons. We've got a wonderful couple of cut songs from that, including Helium, I Hardly Know Them. Local 802 has prevented us from using any sort of instrument for this recording. So for the cut songs from Furniture and Flowers, which was a Norman Wisdom musical that was transferring in from the West End, it was going to be produced by David Merrick. The score is actually comprised of just me hitting a Dixie cup for 5 minutes. The song is actually 7 minutes in length, but at that point, my landlord came and told me to stop making so much noise.
Right, they were going to do Carnival in Flanders, but someone else got the job instead. So.
And then we realized that the carnival was happening, and character actor Ed Flanders, best known for his performances in St. Elsewhere, and we realized that was probably not going to be the best idea for everybody.
Right.
So we thank you all so much for listening to another episode of Cuts. With a Z, so we sound a little bit more contemporary and edgy.
Well done.
Thanks.
Oh, my God. All right.
We got nothing. I got to go get my Halloween costume on.
I'm going to go to bed.
Oh, good for you. How's your kid?
Oh, he's great.
Good. What is he dressing up as? It's his first Halloween. I can't believe I didn't ask that.
Sutton is the bearded lady and Crawford is the strong man because Crawford is the fattest baby ever.
Give
him like a little weight that says 20 pounds on it. And he looks like the strong man. It's actually the cutest thing ever.
Oh my gosh. I want to see pics.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be the strong man. So
all right.
Happy Halloween.
Wait, what are you going as? What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
I don't know. I think I might be the barker, the carnival barker, or something simple.
Ooh,
I honestly have not spent much time. It's really more like how Moulin Rouge of me. It's really
out and steal.
Danny Burstein of me is Danny Burstein of me, but so we'll see.
Oh, how Danny Burstein of you! I love it.
Yeah.
Good. He's actually on a Flops and Cuts with a Z.
Part 3
cassette tape, volume 3, where we do cut songs from You're Not Molly. A show that played at the Virginia Theater for 2 nights until the police came and said, you have to leave. In fact, it was just squatters in the Virginia Theater at that time in 1987.
And thank you to Michael Levine for the sheet music.
Thank you to Michael Levine for the sheet music. We've lost all of our friends today. No one's going to listen anymore at this point. Happy Halloween. Till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.